Blog Talk Radio.
I don't want nobody. Always sitting around me and my man.
To the R to the X.
And we were just in awe talking about the fact that Nicki Minaj, of all artists, has dethroned the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, for Billboard Top Hit Charts. I think she's over 74 or 5 Top Hit Charts, which is phenomenal because, as far as I recall, Nicki Minaj does not have a Grammy to date, and she's been around at least 10 to 15 years, right?
At least 10. I don't know about that 15 part, but at least 10.
Well, I first heard of her, it was embarrassing, actually. I was in Harlem trying to go to the store, and I was with the guy I was working with on a movie shoot. And ladies, it was some type of something came up about Drake. The young brother I was working with said something to her, and I thought there was some advertisement in the little elevator to get to the store. And I'm like, what the hell is y'all talking about? And the lady asked me, she said, you don't know who Drake and Nicki Minaj is? I said, I haven't a clue. And this was 2010. So... She's like, she looked at me like, you know, you was cute until you just said that. So I realized I was not, you know, current on my artistry back then. I used to be up on it, but that was the point where, you know, I bowed out like you did on the rapping bullshit, right?
So yeah, I can't, you know, it's only so much I can do with it, you know.
There's only so much I can do with this, and I didn't know who she was, and then as I got to know who Nicki Minaj is, I kind of found out that I'm really not going to be in tune to her music because not that it's pop, it's just that it doesn't appeal to me. I like other type pop music, you know. I'd rather go with Beyonce, you know, or the whole list of people.
First off, what the problem is with her doing the Billboard, topping the Billboard, we still haven't recognized what pop and what R&B is and what is rap anymore.
Well, I don't think it matters. She dethroned her in the category of which would have been R&B, and these records are classified as R&B, even though you may not like the way the schism is set up or the what you call the trap, and I call the format of the music. But this is modern R&B music, and it's the, you know, we could get into faulting the chart. I mean, we could really probably do a whole study on the racism behind charting music and putting artists against each other, okay? We went through this period with Whitney Houston versus Mariah Carey. We done did this.
Yeah.
okay? And then we went through it again, or actually early on, and then always with Mary J. Blige. Some days we feel like she's a beautiful singer. Some days we feel like she needs to take a cough drop. So, I mean, what is it? The fact that we're ranking all this? It's like we're back to the Oscar argument.
Well, I think that, like you said, what we also got to take in is just the change of atmosphere and how music gets out. It's not the same as how it used to be back in the day. You know, back in the day, the artistry was the artistry. They had to go out to clubs. They had to do the Chitlin circuit and do all these other things, where now all I got to do is I can make a quick rap and put it out on the internet, and if somebody likes it, then I could, you know, look at Chance the Rapper. You know what I'm saying? He didn't use nobody but basically selling his tapes and stuff out of his car and using the internet.
We would applaud that back in the day.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him, but I'm just saying there is where the change lies at right there. It's not how it used to be. You know, back in the day when NWA was doing their thing, they were selling most of their stuff out of the trunk.
I mean, but Chance the Rapper did exactly that. Only thing he added was the internet, because that's the tool they got today.
Right. The tools have changed. And that's the perfect analysis of how the music is being charted, is that the tools have changed.
Furthermore, notoriety could add to your record. I haven't listened to too much new Snoop in the last 3-4 years. I prefer the old Snoop. But we all know that he's been through Snoop Lion. He's been through all kinds. He was doing some Snoop comedy. He'd have been up and down and around the post. But when you start attacking the president, your album sales will go up.
Exactly.
Okay? If you just happen to be built like Nicki Minaj and do all that other side stuff that she's known for and all the other issues of a social nature, of course, you could get more record sales, but that don't mean you can sing or are all that in today's medium. We have to calculate that. That's how you get Washington going, well, we had more people show up at our event for the inauguration, and all we saw was 10 to versus the 100 we saw in the same location 4 years ago. So, what, you know, alternatives, information, space, marketing, all of this type of stuff goes into look at Kim Kardashian. You see what I'm saying? Her popularity became off of a sex tape, and she was smart enough to, well, okay, well, let me just sell some drugs. let me sell what y'all wanted to see, my ad.
Yep. I agree 100%.
At the end of the day, I just found it fascinating that was such a big issue, because it reflects also the fact that when you look at the direction humanity in the United States is going, I said it yesterday on the Marty Smith Show, in talking to you, that a lot of folk devalue their freedom. A lot of folk make certain choices to the extent that where you have to draw back and go, wow, 3 out of 5 shows are cop shows. And now we have a problem with police killings and beat downs and all this extra. Then you got the sinister shows, whether it be the Game of Thrones and the spookiness and, you know, Vampire Diary type stuff, which kicks up nothing but negativity, cosmic beliefs and nothing, sadistic behavior, Satanism, as opposed to sitting around and watching GRX prepare for the next Cammy Meal episode, which is going to be a good cooking show. You know, give me some cooking to let me know how I can cook in the urban community, as opposed to a cooking show filled with truffles and shit.
We got to look at where people's reality is. And right now, that's what people.
Reality. They don't have
but that's
reality.
That's what the problem really is. The reality is that they're out there searching for something other
They're searching for reality, in my opinion.
I can agree with that.
I mean, that's what social media does. You're not going to pick up the phone and call dude or girl. You just rather get on some text and this and that and the other. It's so simple. You just going to text me with your drawers off. A pic, you know how hard it used to be to get somebody out their panties when we was young? It's that simple. I mean, I'm just giving you an example.
No, okay. But it's exactly true. Like I said, these new cats out here in this new world don't have no game because they don't have to go out there and practice no game. We had to practice it. We started practicing it when we was in elementary school. We tried to redefine it when you was in middle school, and when you in high school is when you had to put it all together if you was going to get you one.
And by the time you get to college, you got to roll with that. That's your persona.
Right, that's what it is at that point.
Yeah, at that point, or go into the military, or go wherever you go. But after you become 18, you know, that's part of your character. So,
Right. Again,
the character of our nation is changing to the extent that where we prefer Duck Dynasty as opposed to a good informative National Geographic special about the flood that's going to kill you and your family members in a week.
Right.
Okay.
We told you what the danger was, but you didn't look at that. You was looking at Nicki Minaj. That's what you was looking at.
Oh, now you need to stop. You know I got to play some music on that one. Okay, let's come with a hip-hop classic sample. Let's see if we can do this. I know you like me, GRX. True. I know you feel me, GRX. True. Black Noise Radio with my co-host GRX. We are listening to Rain Dance, Jeff Lorber Infusion. Classic track in and of itself. Became more classic after Junior Mafia sampled it, leading with Biggie Smalls, Lil' Kim, and the other little fella. I can't think his name. But he knows who I'm thinking about. So,
talk about Mace?
Nah. Junior Mafia. Lil C's. I actually met Lil C's. I met them all. I met Biggie first when he first came out here to the West Coast. So, at the end of the day, though, we were talking about earlier. The shift in consciousness. And I don't know if it's an ageism thing, because also Nicki Minaj's success is also spread. I mean, it's not the people in her generation buying the record. When you look at the skew, how the numbers come down, you know, you got people in our generation. So you have shifting taste and values, even for folks. And older than us. You see what I'm saying? So you just can't say it's the millennials or people in her age range, and she's probably a little older than a millennial, right?
No, I don't think so. I think she's right in that age range, really.
Okay, well, I'm not up on her other than, like I said, in 2010, I had no idea who she or Drake was. And I don't
and
think
the only reason I knew who Drake was is because I had a daughter, you know, and that was some of the popular music being played at the time.
Now, what happened that made us kind of tune out on what was popular? I think I dropped off somewhere around Nelly Hot in Ear era, which was 2002, I believe.
What made me drop off was the constant push of the music. So the top 40, no new artists were being brought to light at the time. And it was just what the industry was driving. And it just got to me to be monotonous, you know. You know, I think the last party that I did was in 98. And they wanted to hear the same thing over and over and over and over. And I was like, man, there's more music than that. And so at that point,
did they want to hear the same old track or the same new track?
Well, it was kind of the set, put it like this, it was the top 40 at the time, and they wanted to hear it over. In other words, I had to play a song like 6-7 times a night. That ain't how I get at.
Yeah, well, that's, you're actually citing 98 is when there was a shift. My last big work in which I got, I'm looking at this plaque, platinum plaque titled 1997. And so there was a shift, you are correct, with the public actually taking ownership over what they wanted and what didn't want to hear. And then the interest in disc jockeying started to take on a whole nother wave to get to that point in the early 2000s where everybody wanted to be a DJ, and now it's reclaiming the fame of the disc jockey after you had that sprint from about 2004-5 to 2011 of, oh, we're all doing digital, you know, we just got our laptops, and now that's the biggest thing. Then you got the resurgence of vinyl after 2011-2012-ish till now. And so, yeah, you're right. But, again, it these shifts in desire, consciousness, art, what is art, what is fat, what is not, I think it also reflects on a global level, where we are as a nation and why it is the way it is.
I mean, you could track our growth through our music. And right now, I think a lot of times is we're into this duplication thing where if a dude comes out with a hot track or whatever, now we got to duplicate it. And the industry needs to break that up because there's other music out there that's just as dope, just as hot, you know, and I think that it needs to be pushed further. And if we're going to be global about it, then let's be really global about it. Let's bring in the trap music from Japan. Let's bring in the trap music from France. Let's do all of that. But don't just keep playing the same track over and over and over again. That's one reason why I'm on satellite radio a lot, because I can dictate what and how I hear it.
I mean, I tell you, man, when Pandora first came out, I set up many radio stations, and that was fat. I mean, that was really, really, really working for me. And then they moved into what they are now, and I can't stand it. And when the first, when they first had what, only two satellite radio, you had Sirius and what was the other one?
XM.
XM. I actually was on a road trip driving some miles, and the dude had that, and that was rocking because it was tailored for where our ear was. And if we wanted to go new music, we could go new music. Because sometimes you do need exactly what you're saying. You need control and choice. but you also need presentation, meaning if you didn't know that there was some fatter stuff from Japan or fatter artists or, in fact, original artists from a track you may have been familiar with. If you're listening to this track in the background, this is Lorraine's Dance, and everybody only knows the Grover Washington version. This ain't
right.
Grover Washington. This is Idris Muhammad. How do I know this? Because your brother, Freddie, pointed it out to me in the garage. maybe 20, 25 years ago, over on 56th Street. And so I went, and I used to go dig in the crates. I used to come from up there and come down here to dig in the crates. I've been all the way to New York, Chicago, and digging the crates, bro. Miami, Alabama, I dig in the crate. They'll be like, what are you carrying back to California, Mr. Smith? It's awful heavy. Vinyl records. As long as they can fit in the overhead, who cares if they're 300 pounds?
I lifted it up to put it up there.
There used to not be a weight limit. People didn't know that. You just had to fit it in the overhead as long as they was records. So I took a whole suit bag and just spread the records out like soup. They're heavy than a motherfucker, bro.
Look, it was back in the day when you was a DJ, you better be in shape.
you done did the party now and then got paid. Now you got to break all the equipment down drunk and high and get back home. So,
It was rough on some of them nights, bro. It was rough.
I used to DJ in San Francisco and live in Marin in Novato. Right? That's 45-minute drive over a bridge. Yeah. Doing a lot, doing big things. Okay?
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's just like, we do a party in San Diego, and that's a 2-hour drive from the house, but the money was good, so I had to go get it, and lug all of that stuff down there. Now you got to lug it all the way back, and then start to get a little lazy. Leave the car in the driveway, turn it the other way around, and then in the morning, unload.
Yeah, I used to do that, but then again, sometimes when I moved into Oakland, you don't want to leave your shit in the car overnight.
Right. I mean, where your situation is, that's how you're going to do it. But, on a many a long trip night, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull all this stuff in the house.
Yeah. I know that feeling, bro. There was a time I had a VW bus van, and I used that in DJing in San Francisco, and that worked beautifully, and I would leave the heavy-ass speakers in there, because if they had to get in it to get them, then,
And that's why back in the day, a DJ needed a hype man / roadie to help me.
Oh, that was part of my requirements in putting you on as a secondary or primary kiss jockey. You need to understand that the setup and the breakdown, and you're not just coming for your mix. You might have to break down, in some cases, particularly when we're using multiple segments of equipment. Some cases you have to use. I have kiss jockeys that like their own table, so you have to format that. You got to leave one record playing while he breaks down your other tables, and then he break up his tables. You feel what I'm saying? Now, that could be,
I've run into a couple times of that, where DJs didn't want you to use their tables or situations like that. And, that's just being selfish to be crazy.
No, it depends on the disc jockey. I mean, I can tell you, and Oakland, DJ Ozzy, to always do that. That's my fucking, let him do what he gonna do. Because when he finished rocking, you've been through something, you done did something. You feel like you got your money out the party, okay? And he was never trying to be the prima donna disc jockey. So, bruh, if your skills are best on their table. And then again, you know, I dealt with a lot of mixologists. You know, I ain't really trying to have incredible scratch pickles tear up my fucking Thursday.
That's true too.
Okay.
Well, I was more with, for me, it wasn't so much the tables, because I could use different styles of tables, whether they belt driven, whether they direct drive, you know, Technique, Newmark, whatever the case may be. I can use just about any table. But where I kind of draw the line is the mixer. You know, it's something about a crossfader that, you know, some people like tight crossfaders, some like loose. I just like mine.
Yeah.
I know where to cheat at.
I agree with you there. I was actually partial to that in my turntable setup because I'm right-handed, and I had one that was already my table. My right-hand table was jury-rigged for my right hand. So, as well as once you get a mixer that works for what you're trying to do, you know, that. But then again, that is actually much harder to set up a mixer because you got to shut down your whole system and you can't keep the party going. But I agree. And, you know, I used to manage this doctor. So then if you were in my clique, we just make sure that you get your own setup room. So you got it.
Like I used to do, like sometimes I would bring my own mixer and I would just re-plug it in so that everything fed into my mixer, back into the main mixer, and we could rock it like that for a while. I mean, the setup is relatively easy, but like again, you just got to be smarter than that on some of them occasions, man. So, you know, I did, you know, a lot of different stuff, and like I said, not being the headlining DJ causes you to learn how to work on other people's stuff.
Oh, well, shit, you got to be an engineer to do any of this. But that's when you realize that I found this out after a while, that I do need a backup CD player to keep the things going in case you have technical issues. And if you remember back in the day, we used to go to my Uncle Dan party, Bobcat and Egyptian Lover Nam, they always ran two double deck tape decks. They had a thought, and it was explained. And, you know, one is the backup.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even dealing with Gem and Gemini, we always ran a backup. We always had backups. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it even got to a point where, like I said, when I was doing a lot of work with him, is we'd bring in an extra turntable because we had one night where a turntable, it was the turntable that went out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, all that.
It wasn't just to flip the needle in it. It was that the turntable was tripping. So now, what do you do? Yeah, so now we was at the party mixing with a CD and a turntable, but we made it happen, but those kind of things happen. You just got to be ready for some of that. But now with everything being technical and digital, it's a whole different get down. You know, now all I got to do is bring my laptop and use your controller and get down.
Well, I did one party with DJ Styles a few years back, about 4 or 5 years ago. One of his Halloween, big Halloween parties, and I used his laptop and I mixed a couple of records. And that's probably the last time I actually did something of, on a scale of a party, big party nature, and that was huge out in Oakland. But, you know, and now that I've been in here dealing with everything digitally, and you need to know that skill too. I just figured that, you know, it's just, you need to know how to mix digitally too, and it just improves your ear. And we're going to get to a point where we're going to be using all three formats, whether it's the computer, the turntable, and then something analog, and it could be multiple analog, you know. But, you know, in some cases, I think that would be even more powerful for some of our listeners, because then they would know that how important music is to folk like me and you, that we're going to have it even if it's on 8-track.
Right. Break it back down.
Break it back down. Okay, this is Black Noise Radio. We want to thank GRX for allowing us to pick his brain, and, you know, Billboard Top Chart is out, and it is what it is. Nicki
it
Minaj
is what it is, you know. We just deal with what we got to deal with. Things are changing. You don't need a Grammy to be the top Billboard chart winner. You don't.
I guess not. At least we can say one thing they both had when they were young. That boom, 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 boom. All right. You know which boom I'm talking about. Later.
Yes, 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 yes. Ticket in a snicket.
Ah.